Thank you very much. And good day. Thank you.
Now, before we went away, I wanted to further explain the thought process that went into the creation of the last segment. See, some might say I over-research for some of these things. I looked up to see when the height of the Tamagotchi craze was. It was around 96, 97, 98. Then went on to, yeah, and they are back.
Yeah, I bought one for my daughter for Christmas. Yeah.
And then went to try and find terrible shows from the 96, 97, 98 window. And I luckily stumbled upon the worst example of television programming ever devised, brought to you by UPN, a network that doesn't exist anymore.
I wonder why, yeah.
And it made sense to me that homeboys from outer space might have a Tamagotchi. I don't know. There was a lot of thought that went into the stupidest deep cut that I've ever pulled.
I am so glad that you gave the disclaimer halfway through.
Yeah.
If you would have got to Laquatia without giving the disclaimer, I would have unfriended you on all social media platforms. And
I mean, I'd already put the disclaimer in there, but yes, it was deep into it. So it felt like, I felt the room needed to know that I wasn't being ridiculously 1996 style racist up here.
Right. Yeah.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Oh my God. Here we are at Luna's Cafe, 1414 6th Street in Sacramento, California. I am your host, John Ross. I'm feeling okay this show. Are you ready to meet your contestants? Okay, well, you know what? Let's do this right away. Let's get to the stage, Mr. Bill Wallace. Bill Wallace. Sitting in the middle. Where is he? Johnny Casino. Johnny. Or John Casino. John Casino. And again, Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones, welcome.
Stab.
Welcome, 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 welcome. I'm so sad that the lady from Cranberries died.
Aww.
How do you feel about it, Bill?
Yeah, I didn't know her.
You didn't know? No?
Not well.
She wasn't the soundtrack to your... Who would you feel...
To my birth.
To your birth? Bill. Bill. Yeah, what Cranberry song would you have been born to? You don't know their songs well enough.
I know the two.
Linger, it was a long birth.
Yeah. No? Zombie, my mom died.
Come on in. Come on in, it's the show you heard about. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fuck 'em. All right, well, good. Was your mom the singer of the Cranberries?
Oh, man.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started.
I was thinking today on the way over that a cranberry is basically the same thing as a grape, right? Or not a grape, but a raisin. Same thing, kind of same family. But a grape has its own name, and then when it dies, it's the raisin. Why isn't that the same with cranberry? What is a dead cranberry?
Craisin.
Yeah.
No, that's a... That's a...
I don't think it's...
Is that true?
I don't think it's a grape-cranberry hybrid. I think it's it's just a dehydrated cranberry.
So the raisin... So what does raisin mean? So raisin just must mean...
Shriveled.
Dehydrated grape.
I don't know. God damn it.
I'm not an entomologist.
You're not an entomologist? Well, thank you for being here, Bill.
I don't even think that's
thank
the right
you.
Word.
John Casino.
Well, hello, hello, hello.
Hello. Is it Johnny or John?
I go by Johnny.
Jonathan? You changed it on Facebook.
No, that goes a long way back. For some reason, Facebook back in 2005 or whatever didn't believe Johnny Casino was a real name. So they said, no, you're John.
They didn't let you have it.
They didn't let me have it.
Is it a really, we were debating this earlier. Is it really Johnny?
I mean.
Is it really Casino?
Yes, it is really Casino.
Really?
My first name is just John.
What's your middle name?
Joseph.
John Joseph Casino.
The third.
The third. John Joseph Casino.
The third. The third.
That's not my
his
name.
His dad was named after his dad.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm John Morris Ross the fourth.
Oh.
So.
Got a couple.
One up, yeah.
Couple people.
Legacies.
Who
yeah.
Couple people who really believed in those names.
They did.
There's no way it could go wrong again.
Although I did miss
beat
out.
The odds.
I missed out with my first son. I could have named him Johnny Five.
Oh, yeah. God yeah. damn it.
Yeah, you can blame his whore mother. My ex-wife. It's okay
I mean,
to
you didn't
that.
Have to point out the reference. You could have just slipped it in there.
Let's name him after something from Lord of the Rings, she said. Okay.
Gollum?
Yeah, Gollum. Gollum Ross.
Gollum Ross.
Gollum.
Yeah.
Gollum.
Yeah. Eowyn. No, I don't know. But he's doomed. All right. Well, Jonathan Cassiner. Cassino. Thanks
I'm
for being
to
here.
Be here. Thanks for
Thank
having
you.
Me.
Thank you. Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
Put her there. From over there.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Doesn't matter on audio. We'd be shaking hands.
It is so weird to have to say something to you every show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have nothing for you.
I generally don't either. Yeah.
All right, let's play Stab. You know, I'm going to prompt you guys to clap again. Let's play Stab. Yeah. Yeah.
They might have done it naturally. You don't
wait. Hold on. I'm going to do it again because I didn't turn the sound effect up. All right. You guys ready to play Stab? Gentle persons, welcome to the show. This first segment's called Reorganization. Please take the following made-up acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Mark Kropp, 19 years old, made headlines around the world when he spoke about the difficulty of getting a job with a huge face tattoo that covered the bottom half of his face like a beard. The tattoo spelled Devastate, D-E-V-A-S-T, 8. Which also is coincidentally tonight's acronym, Devastate. Bill, what does D-E-V-A-S-T-8 mean to you, Devastate? By the way, I'm so glad there were people in here that came into the show with a lady with a face tattoo. I'm so glad they left.
Oh, man. I'm so glad it was a face tattoo because I thought she had a black eye. I was like, this poor woman.
She came in, they used the bathroom, because that's what you do when you have a face tattoo. She's going to public places.
Can't use it at home. So,
all right. Bill, Devastate.
Thanks for including a number in this, by the way. I made it stand for Do Eagles Velocity Alter Space Time? And I to go with it, I have 8 sub-points.
Okay.
Two Eagles Velocity Alter Space-Time, first sub-point. There are at least 500 eagles on Earth at any given moment.
Very good.
Eagles.
Two.
No, this is still number one.
Okay.
Eagles flap their wings at least 500 times a day. That's got to do something. Sub-point number two. Some eagles are actually flying forward through time, and that's why they're going bald. Sub-point three. Wind currents? I don't know. Sub-point four. Why do you never see an eagle walking around like pigeons or crows? They're always flying because they are solar-powered.
Was solar a pun?
No.
Okay. You said it as if it were.
Sub-point solar. Number five, Aurora Borealis? sub-point number six, the Philadelphia Eagles are a football team that, in relation to us, literally live 3 hours in the future.
We're on the West Coast.
For the listeners, mm-hmm. A Pegasus... It's essentially a horse and an eagle. Project Pegasus was an underground government project testing psychic abilities, and you guessed it, time travel. Coincidence? I think not. And my last of 8 subpoints, their loud call may or may not contain a supersonic tone that opens wormholes, and I'm not talking about their beaks.
Very good. Bill Wallace with Reorganization. I forget what you said, though. I forget what it was, the acronym you used. Okay, John Cassino.
Yes, sir.
What does devastate mean to you?
Well, I came up with 2, and I had to choose only one, which was devastating.
I could see that.
Yeah, my greatest critic. Doing everything visually against society, tonight at 8.
So that's it.
Don't be blind. Visualize the issues. Then drop them off at the nearest SPCA donation lot and let them go free. Free to devastate the land with reappropriated street art. A coffee maker glued to a shoehorn. Won last week's useless shit and installment, art installment. You know, even though I find I need a cup of coffee to help me put on my shoes. Well, kind of related. Anyway, don't miss today's big, vaguely interesting garbage fire of eye candy. They'll make you pray for glaucoma tonight at 8.
Very good. Devastate. John. John J. Cassino. Jesse Jones, what does devastate mean to you?
An amazing finish to an instant classic of a playoff game here as the Sparrowhawks hand the Night Rangers a stunning 22-19 upset. On the last play of regulation, down on the field, Treat Kennel has got star of the game, tight end Douglas Griffin. Treat, thank you, Wally. Douglas, what a great play. What a great win for your team. First of all, I want to thank God. God is good, and without God, nothing is not never impossible. Douglas, the Sparrowhawks were 17-point underdogs coming into this contest. What do the players in your locker room know today that the odds makers didn't? Well, it's just the system this team's built on, you know. It's like Coach always says, at the end of the day, determination equals victory and skill times 8. And we all believe that completely. Okay, all right. Can you take us through that last play? Is this something you guys prepare for? Well, it's like, you know, like I said, and it's what Coach preaches all the time, is skill times victory equals determination times 8. I believe that. Everybody in our locker room believes that. And that's more or less what we practice every day and believe. So it's third down. It's a long third down. What were you expecting the defense? What I think I meant was Coach always says is he says victory times the square root of 8 determinations equals skill. Your quarterback was under pressure all afternoon. Determination divided by skill to the power of 8 equals victories. All right, Wally, I'm going to let Douglas go. Coaches are waving him over to the medical tent, and it seems like he's staring straight through me now. Want 8 victories? Be determined your skills hypotenuse is equal to plus or minus. That sounds like a good plan, Treat. Treat Kennel would star the game, and by the sound of it, traumatic brain injury sufferer, tight end Douglas Griffin. We'll be back with more scores and highlights right after a few words from trucks and beer.
That was Reorganization. This next segment is called Top 5 Google Searches Of. All right. This week, Chris Brown's pet monkey was confiscated by police after he posted a video of it on Instagram. Please compose the top 5 Google searches from the perspective of Chris Brown's confiscated monkey. One at a time. Bill, what's the first thing that his confiscated monkey would have Googled?
Thai restaurants near me.
All right. Johnny Cassino, what's your first 5?
Who directed the video for Peter Gabriel's 1982 hit, Shock the Monkey?
Jesse Jones.
First, Drake's lemur nudes.
Very good. Second of five.
Pho restaurants near me.
This monkey likes Thai food. I see. Johnny what? Casino, what's your second?
What is the proper way to peel a banana?
Usher's giraffe upskirts.
All right. Top five Google searches from the perspective of Chris Brown's confiscated monkey. That's what we're doing. Number three, Bill Wallace.
Produce stores near me.
Produce? Okay. All right. I see where you're going. No, I don't. Johnny Casino.
Why is Chris Brown famous?
He's a great dancer. Number three, Jesse.
Montel Jordan's mongoose glory hole.
Bill Wallace.
Produce stores with bananas near me.
Okay. Johnny Casino.
How to improve my feces throwing arm.
There you go. Jesse Jones.
Bruno Mars's Bobcat's Bukkake.
And the fifth of five.
Banana recipes.
All right.
When is the next Planet of the Apes movie coming out?
Narcissist. Jesse Jones.
Fifth. R. Kelly's jellyfish water sports.
Okay. That was the top five Google searches from the perspective of Chris Brown's confiscated monkey. All right. So, Bill, you stopped smoking.
I did.
We talked about this earlier.
I can't stop picturing an R. Kelly fish.
An R. Kelly fish? Yeah. Kelly fish?
It's like, how do you know when it's peeing on others?
Yeah. They have to pee on you if you sting it. Yeah, that's what. Okay, I don't know. Keep it down, please, Art. Okay. All right. This next segment is called This Was Today Once. Bill Wallace, almost called you Bill Haney.
Weird.
Yeah. All right. On this date, 1977, capital punishment in the United States resumes after a 10-year hiatus as convicted murderer Gary Gilmore is executed by firing squad in Utah. Also on this date, 1957, American actor, comedian, television personality, and game show host Steve Harvey was born. How do you celebrate these events combined?
Well, I celebrated today by waking up like I do most days. And watching the entire DVD of the original Kings of Comedy.
Okay.
And then special features included. And then I called and asked 100 people what's something I should eat for breakfast. Top three answers on the board. Number three, eggs. Number two, English muffin. Number one answer on the board, ham with no nitrates or nitrites. I'm going to head start on looking after my colon. It's, I thanked myself for playing, and then I went out to buy some weed. Once I got the weed, I smoked some of the weed. And then I remembered that it was the anniversary of the long-anticipated return of capital punishment.
Local show reference?
That kind of bummed me out a bit, so I smoked some more of the weed and remembered something else. It's Steve Harvey's birthday, too. So I smoked some more of the weed and tried to figure out how to celebrate that. By then, it was already 11 a.m., and you had asked me to fill in for this show. Today.
Right.
Since then, I've just been writing.
Thank you, Bill Wallace. Very good. There's no need to apologize for that before the show. John Casino, on this date, 1861, the flush toilet was patented by Mr. Thomas Crapper. Also on this, true story, also on this date, 1984, the Supreme Court rules 5-4 okaying the private use of home VCRs to tape TV programs for later viewing. That it doesn't violate federal copyright laws. How did you celebrate the aforementioned topics in tandem.
Well, I'll tell you. I celebrated by taking a seat on my porcelain throne, popped in a tape of the 1988 Little League playoffs simulcast with the local commercials. Do you know how crazy a summer that was? Massachusetts lost to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia lost to Canada, who lost to Taiwan, who went on to take it home. What a load of crap. I mean, you'd shit yourself watching it. You just got to be prepared. And I was.
Very good, Johnny Casino. Very good. Jesse Jones, on this date, 1950, the Great Brinks robbery happened. 11 thieves steal more than $2 million from an armored car company's office in Boston. Also on this date, 1928, English-American hairdresser and businessman Vidal Sassoon was born. How did you celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Well, naturally, in celebration of Vidal Sassoon and armored car robberies, I embarked on a string of daring daylight makeovers. Crisscrossing the city, leaving a trail of fabulousness and self-esteem in my wake. Unsuspecting victims found themselves assaulted with new volume and previously limp, lifeless hair, never even knowing what hit them. Vicious cuts and stylings accentuating their bone structure. The shapes of the faces of my victims guiding my expert hand. Layers of dead skin littered the seats of one entire trainload of women as I wantonly exfoliated everyone in sight. News reports are already referring to it as the blue line microdermabrasion. My targets were chosen at random with no premeditation. Caught up in the thrill of my rampage, I cornered one woman and without a moment's hesitation added just the right hat to her ensemble. Because sometimes the perfect hat is all you need to give you that stylish, playful feeling. They can instantly change your entire look from drab to fab. My beautification spree finally concluded with a 6-hour standoff in the Arden Mall food court, where I shouted over the panic-stricken, ugly voices that nobody was leaving that food court until I was absolutely satisfied with how they looked. Because when I was done, if even a single solitary soul among them didn't look good, then I wouldn't look good. And I'd be an unplucked unibrow before I let some shit like that happen on my watch.
Very good. That was... This was Today Once. That brings us to our next segment, Vows to an Asshole. Congrats, gentlemen, on finding true love. Now please read the following vows to an asshole. Bill, you're marrying the guy who puts his head underneath the salad bar sneeze guard at the Sizzler.
Dear Terrell, I knew you were the one from the first moment I saw the back of your head where I was so used to seeing the cottage cheese that keeps me coming back to that particular Sizzler. The other Sizzlers don't have cottage cheese in the salad bars. They have baby corn instead. I've never been much for baby corn. I mean, what even is that shit? Anyway, when you lifted your head and rubbed it against the glass as you turned to meet my gaze covering the entire left portion of the salad bar and flakes of your very prominent dandruff, I saw devotion in your eyes. I knew right then that you would be my life from that moment forward, and you have been. And you know I don't care about the left side of the salad bar anyway. That's the salad side. Everyone knows the right side is where all the ham and turkey and cheese and croutons and ranch for my chicken strips is anyway. And you know that's why I'm there, baby, and that's why I love you. I love your preferred facial proximity to public shared vegetables. I can't wait to start our terrible unsanitary life together.
Very good, Bill Wallace. marrying the guy who puts his head underneath the cell bar. Johnny Casino, you are marrying the lady who publicly talks on her cell phone with the speakerphone activated.
Yeah. My dearest, I promise to resist chiming in on your private phone conversation with your mom about me, even though we're at dinner with my parents and you're on speaker. I vow that I won't say anything to your best friend Cindy about her yeast infection. I'll pretend I didn't just hear your ex-boyfriend tell you he misses you, or you responding in kind. And I will never bring up the length of your urinations, no matter how frequent, extraneous, or concerning they get.
Very good, Johnny Casino. Marrying the lady who publicly talks on her cell phone with a speakerphone on. Jesse Jones. All right, so everyone that's about to hear this prompt, let me finish. Thank you. Jesse Jones, you're marrying the three-year-old, let me finish, who runs up and down the fucking aisles at the restaurant, and his stupid, negligent mother who sits there and does nothing.
Okay. Aiden Slugger, are you ready? All right, well, we'll just be right over here then. Madison, I remember when we first met. Aiden had just sneezed directly into my plate of French toast before running off again, screaming at the top of his lungs for what seemed like no reason at all. As he ran past you, inadvertently punching you in the thigh with his wildly whirring arms, I saw your face. It was that vacant, defeated stare. The same dead-eyed stare that I see looking through me to the nothingness behind me that I'm trying to catch some kind of recognition in right now. Aiden, sweetie, over here. All right, Aiden, everything you're doing is all right. I walked over to your booth. I was trying to act as cool and casual as possible. As I got closer, I began to feel it, that aura of crippling despair that seemed to surround you. The unbearable weight of a life you didn't choose and which you knew you could never escape. Aiden, I'm sorry, sir. Just try to ignore him. If you have to, just give him a little push and he'll just run off in whichever direction you point him in. He's like a screaming Roomba like that. Madison, I asked you if you could control what I assumed was your child, as the only time he stopped screaming, even for a moment, was to grab handfuls of syrupy pancake from your plate, shove it into his scream hole, gag and choke momentarily, and then run off screaming again. You looked up at me without actually looking at me and shrugged. Without ever once blinking. I don't know that I've ever even seen you blink. And so, Madison, I ask you today to be my wife, with only one promise, that I will make sure I fill our home with as many pointy cornered coffee tables as it'll hold, and cover the floors with the many loose, easily trippable rugs of happiness. For as long as we both, and just we both, shall live.
Very good. That was Vows to an Asshole, which brings us to our final segment, movie makeup. Please have composed a synopsis for the synopsis. You didn't know I yodeled. Get back here. Okay, please provide a synopsis for the following movie titles. Bill Wallace, the name of your movie is called Homeless Bound. Homeless Bound.
Sorry. This is probably going to be even more of a bummer than its name implies. Homeless Bound. The story of the American middle class.
Once a strong and thriving member of American society, now emaciated and weakened due to years of mistreatment from America's ultra-wealthy, this tale, like many before it, is one of a journey. A journey from a time when the average working American family was valued and sought after to a time when a few super rich people hoarded the majority of the country's money, keeping it out of the economy and thus out of the reach of the middle class. But without access to money, she began to shrivel up and lose the will to live. And as that happened, the gap between rich and poor widened more and more and more. And pretty soon, it turned into the 1% with all of the money versus the 99% who were left to fight for what little was left. Then the 1% atop their thrones of blood money elected one of their own to rule and make sure that their bank accounts remained as big as their waistlines. Then their evil leader fucked up, and we all saw it. Then the evil leader obstructed justice and said grab them by the pussy and colluded with Russia and got caught paying off a porn star he cheated on his wife with and called a bunch of African countries and Haiti shitholes. But I digress. Then the evil leader was removed from power, kicking and screaming and crying with shit in his diaper, reduced to a childlike state. And we all lived cautiously ever after.
Who's that about? Very good.
Gilbert Gottfried, I think.
Very good. Very good. Johnny Casino. Yes. Yeah, Bill. That's great. It's great. The documentary? It's good. Johnny Casino, the name of your movie is called The Vast and the Curious Seven. The Vast and the Curious Seven.
Strap in, everybody. Dominic Toretto and his crew thought they'd left the outer space mercenary life behind six installments ago. They'd defeated the evil galactic empire that interrupted their barbecues and drag races and went their separate ways. But now, someone is out killing the crew one by one for revenge, presumably. Worse, a strange signal was intercepted from an uncharted territory, and everyone is very curious about it. There's a strange celestial, some would say heavenly body called The Rock that exists out there in the vast expanse. Toretto must reconvene with his remaining team and solve the mysteries behind the killings, the signal's origin, and why this is the seventh time common criminals were tasked with solving an intergalactic life-threatening issue.
Curiosity killed the cat.
Very good. Johnny Casino. Let's hear it. Jesse Jones, bring us home with this last prompt of the show. Please have composed a synopsis for the following movie called Digipet Cemetery. Digipet Cemetery. Such confidence.
This is an obscure reference even for me. So...
They're back. They're coming back.
Oh, no. It's yes, even more obscure.
Okay.
Sometimes the stars align at exactly the right time, and the perfect idea meets the perfect medium at the perfect moment in history. And sometimes the exact opposite thing of that thing happens, and the only solution is to bury that failure deep inside the ground. Like the story of the E.T. movie video game for the Atari 2600, and its mass grave in the New Mexico desert. Digipet Cemetery chronicles the tale of the Tamagotchi tie-in for the UPN's short-lived sitcom, Homeboys in Outer Space. The year was 1996. Riding high off the debut of their breakout hit Moesha in January, UPN was drunk with power and eager to try to catch lightning in a bottle a second time, come their fall season. And they were confident they had just the hip, urban, sci-fi adventure comedy that the world had been waiting for. Homeboys in Outer Space. This is real.
No way! Is there...
Before the show even debuted...
I was like, you're a racist.
Oh, no. I mean, I get to my apology later in the segment, but I could feel that nobody knew how deep a cut this was, so I had to Before the show even debuted, UPN was so confident in its future success and eager to capitalize that they partnered with Japanese toy makers Bandai for what they saw as an absolute slam dunk, can't miss promotional digital pet tie-in. A Tamagotchi pet based on the homeboy's lowrider spaceship, the Space Hoopty. Unfortunately, difficulties arose almost immediately, as UPN was dissatisfied with the Tamagotchi's inability to accurately capture the Space Hoopty's sassy artificial intelligence autopilot program, Loquacia.
No.
And just so it's clear to anyone who didn't see any of the 21 episodes of Homeboys in Outer Space on UPN, originally aired between August 96 and May of 97. While I may be making up the Tamagotchi toy, I am absolutely not making up any of the outrageously offensive details of the UPN series Homeboys in Outer Space, the Space Hoopty, or Loquacia.
Oh my god, this is like watching an old Looney Tunes cartoon.
Now, with that being made perfectly clear, let's return to the conclusion of our good-natured comedy show already in progress. What resulted was a toy built on compromise, and which failed to meet the expectations of the network, Bandai, and the leagues of Homeboys in Outer Space fans, resulting in the sale of just three Space Hoopty Tamagotchi, all to the stars of the show, including one purchased by none other than Miss R&B, Rona Bennett, who, of course, we all remember as the voice of Loquacia.
And that is Stab. One more time for everyone you saw on this rectangle tonight. And one more time for Bill Wallace, Johnny Casino, and Jesse Jones. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, please go to one of our many online outlets. Stabforgold.com, Stab, the number four, gold.com. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Thank you very much, and good day. Thank you.
Now, before we went away,